Parshas Bereishis Tavshin Pei Aleph. Normally, ordinarily, when we read the parasha, we have the Haftarah. This week's Haftarah, under ordinary circumstances, would be Hashamayim, would be, it's a very beautiful Haftarah. The regular Haftarah for Parshas Bereishis would be, let me read you the first pasuk at least of the Haftarah, would be Koyamar Hashem, Koyamar Hokel Hashem, Boire the Creator, Hashamayim of the heaven, Vinoy Tehem, and its expanse. Roika Ho'oretz V'tze'et So'echo Hashem, He lays out the earth and all of its inhabitants. Naisein Neshama Lo'omoleho, Hashem gives the Neshama, the soul, to the people to live upon it. V'ruach and a spirit La'holchem Ba. I don't think any human being can write something so eloquent to describe, to summarize creation like Yeshaya. He wasn't Yeshaya for nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you read this pasuk and think about this pasuk, this is, you know, you can get the Pulitzer Prize. You can get, I don't know all the different prizes you can get in this world for talent of writing and eloquence and communication and the ability to convey something in a pleasant and powerful way. But Yeshaya certainly would win every single prize with this one pasuk alone. It really puts together the whole creation succinctly with eloquence and yofi. It's an incredible pasuk. And that's what we really should be reading tomorrow when we finish with Parashas HaShavua. But guess what? Tomorrow we're not going to read this. And this has nothing to do with Corona. The reason why tomorrow this pasuk has been cancelled, this event has been cancelled tomorrow, is because tomorrow is Erev Rosh Chodesh. And on Erev Rosh Chodesh, the Haftarah is very generous. It's very kind. The Nevi'im are very, very kind. They hand over the prophecy from one prophet to the next. Or from one prophet, I really had a drasha, I wanted to say this, but you know what? I'll say something else. So tomorrow we read Mochar Chodesh. We read tomorrow Vayoymer lo Yehoinason. Yehoinason Mochar Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Habolin Latoiva is on Sunday, Monday. Is that correct? I make sure I'm not making a mistake. Yeah, as far as I know, it's right. On Sunday, Monday.
Right.
So tomorrow we lane Mochar Chodesh. So, all right. So what would you ordinarily... We do this every so often. This happens occasionally. Happens at least once a year, I assume. I don't remember. I can't make calculations. Maybe it's on twice a year. It happens plenty of times. Okay, it happens not. It happens pretty often. And then,
more often than not, it's knocked off because it's the low Haftorah on the totem pole.
It's what? What?
It's canceled for everything.
It's canceled for, oh, okay, but not tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow it's not canceled.
Right, yeah, there's no reason to cancel it this week, that's all.
So we lay Mocha Chodesh, okay. So when we do lay Mocha Chodesh, so what do we say? Oh, that's it. So the Haftorah now really has nothing to do with the Parsha. Nothing. Let's take a step back. Ordinarily, we learn the parasha, and then we learn the Haftarah. We learn from the Nevi'im. And why do we learn from the Nevi'im? I know that there's a whole long schmooze. It's because once upon a time there was an Gzeiras HaShmad when we were not allowed to learn Torah, and the inspectors came, the sheriff's department came into the shul to make sure that we weren't learning the parasha. So instead of laying the parasha, they only said in the law that you're not allowed, to lay the Torah, but you're allowed to lay the half Torah, right? It's like all these funny stores. They start serving milk and cookies. We are an essential business. We sell food. Just because we have here air conditioners and electronic equipment and books, that's just a side product. But the main thing that we sell is milk and cookies. So when the inspectors came, they found a legal loophole. Oh, we're only not allowed to learn the Torah, but we can learn from the prophets. So we learn from the Nevi'im, v'chulu, and then they have 21 psukim for 7 aliyos, corresponding to the 7 aliyos of 3 psukim each. Everyone knows that. That's very popular. But the truth is, That's not the only reason why we learn from the Nevi'im. That's clearly, this that what Chazal instituted, it's not only because once upon a time there was a Gezeres HaShemat. It's because the Nevi'im have a message for us as well. And the section that was selected to be read in the Haftarah is very precise. It captures the theme of the parasha in different ways. Sometimes it may appear to be just a repeat. Other times it's more of a balance. If the parasha presents something in one extreme, we know that nothing in life is good without checks and balances. If the Torah presents a theme, if we get carried away with it to its extreme, it can be very dangerous. The Haftorah will balance the parasha by presenting a message that's a little bit different, another angle to the same theme of the parasha. And there are many sefarim, many rabbanim that have great expertise in elaborating and showing the connections between the parasha and the Haftorah in all of its various forms and angles and messages. It's a powerful tool that we have to connect the Haftorah with the parasha. But that only works when it's a regular Shabbos. When it's a regular Shabbos, there's nothing going on, and we have the Haftorah that was selected for the parasha. But when we have an event, like Rosh Chodesh, or Erev Rosh Chodesh, or it's Yom Tov, or it's the Dalit Parshiyos, or even Shiva D'Nechemta, then we say to ourselves, incorrectly, that, oh, this week it's a break, it's a vacation. The Haftorah really has nothing to do with the parish, nothing, zero. Zero, zilch, zippo. Because we can lay in the same Haftorah multiple times, the different parshiyos. It's purely there as a reminder or to capture the theme of the day, whether it's Yom Tov, whether it's Rosh Chodesh, whether it's the Dal Parashiyos, but nothing to do with the parasha. I disagree with that approach. I strongly disagree, and everything is b'hashkocha pratis. And when you lay in the Haftorah, whether it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, or it's Mocha Chodesh, it's as if it's ki'ilu. This is the Haftorah for the parasha. It just happens to be that, you know, it also says, Vayom Elo Yehoinus on Mocha Chodesh. It also happens to be that it says in the Haftorah that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Oh, very good. And what about the rest of the Haftorah? That's almost nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh, nothing. What's it doing there? Oh, well, you know, once it says Mocha Chodesh, we have to read the whole story. No. The Haftorah of tomorrow, forget about what was last year, what's next year. The Haftorah of tomorrow is Vayom Elo Yehoinus on Mocha Chodesh. Not because on Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, because this is what's meant to be. This is the Haftorah. There is a powerful message in this Haftorah that brings together that is mashlim the parsha. It's the counterbalance. It solidifies. It packages. It puts together the parsha in a responsible way. Now, what do I mean with that? So let's analyze a couple of ideas. Number one, let's understand the opening line is Mochar Chodesh. What is the most fundamental difference between Rosh Chodesh and Maisa Bereishis? Maisa Bereishis is Kevia V'Kaima, as it says in Chazal. It's etched in stone. It's fixed. Every single Shabbos, Saturday is Shabbos. There's nothing anyone in the entire world can do to change the calendar. Every single, there are 6 days, and the seventh day is Shabbos. This cycle is fixed. It's etched in stone. There is no deviation. There is no room to wiggle. Kivi v'kaima. Rosh Chodesh, it's up to us. HaChodesh HaZeh tia lochem. Achodesh hazeh lochem, tia lochem rosh chodoshim. It's yours. You decide when is Rosh Chodesh. Beis Din has enormous power to manipulate the calendar. If Beis Din does not want Rosh Chodesh, wants the month to be Mole, wants the previous month to be 30 days, they have the power and the right to suppress the witnesses who see the new moon, and they can say, sorry, we're closed for business today. Corona, social distancing. No one's allowed to come into the Beis Din. And by default, the month is going to be 30 days. There's the Dayanim, there's Zakenim. They can't come in contact with these people. We'll kill them. So we're not accepting testimony. And if we're not accepting testimony, what happens? Automatically, the month becomes 30 days, and the new month is pushed off for one day. Beis Din has full discretion as to decide, for whatever reason, if there's a need in Klal Yisrael for the month to be pushed off, the new month to be pushed off by one day, it's within their power to do so. And when they decide, they will pair the year with an additional month, all depending on the circumstances. A really good example would have been last year, and Mayor Appeltoff pointed this out to me. If we had a Sanhedrin, could you imagine if we had a Sanhedrin last year? There's no doubt there would have been major consideration to push off Pesach by 1 month, to make last year a leap year, because no one was really ready for Pesach. It was the height of Corona. People were, Rachmanullah, they were dying right and left. It was Pesach, was the weeks before Pesach was the worst time of this episode. It was horrific. The pachad was palpable during those 2 weeks leading up to Pesach and Pesach itself. Who can prepare for Pesach? Impossible. Beis Din, certainly, if we had a Beis Din, they would say, you know what, we're going to make an Ibiyar. We're going to make a double ladder. No one is ready for Pesach this year. We're going to make a double ladder. Hopefully, after a month, you know, things will get better. Hopefully, no one knows what's going to be, but at least push things off a little bit. Beis Din has that power. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, it's for you. But Shabbos, they have no power. That's why we lay in tomorrow's Haftarah. After going through Maisa Bereshis, the creation of this world, after going through strict rules that are etched in stone with absolutely no room to wiggle, no deviation, the counterbalance to that, to Maisa Bereshis, to Hashem's establishment of world order, of time, is the gift that Hashem gave to man, to Klal Yisrael. There is part of this world of time, an order that you have control over. I stand down. You decide when you want it to be Rosh Chodesh. You decide when it will be Rosh Hashanah. Whenever you want it to be Rosh Hashanah, that's when it will be the Yom HaDin. Whenever you want it to be Pesach, that's when you're not allowed to eat chametz. That's when I'll accept your carbon Pesach from you. You decide. Tomorrow's Haftarah is the perfect, it's custom made for Parshas Bereishis. Vayomer lo Yohanes an mochar chodesh. The Ribbono shel Olam created the world in 7 days and there's no room to budge. Every seventh day is Shabbos, whether you like it or not, there's nothing you can do. But yet, mochar chodesh. Yesh mochar la'achar zaman. There will come a time in creation, in this world that Hashem created, where there will be the Jewish people who will be given the power to create and establish the boundaries of time. And just like this existed for Klal Yisrael throughout the entire time of the Midbar and Eretz Yisrael, and by Yisrishon, whatever, and a little bit afterwards, and part of by Sheni as well, this will return. This power of Beis Din to be a partner with Hashem in Maisa Bereishis, the ability to establish time, the contrast to Shabbos, Kli V'Kayma, Yesh Mochor, Chazal say Mochor refers to the le'achar zman. Vayeba lo yohoinasan mochor chodesh. There's more to come. That's one idea. There's another very powerful idea. It's so obvious. In this week's parasha, we learn about the first two brothers, Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel did not get along. Cain was an oived ha'adama. He worked the earth. He worked the land. Hevel had sheep. He had livestock. They divided up the world. And the day came when Cain and Hevel went to yeshiva, and they discovered spirituality. They recognized there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's only proper that a person should serve Hashem. Cain served Hashem properly. Cain did not serve Hashem properly. Hevel succeeded in understanding the proper way to serve Hashem. Cain was extremely jealous of Hevel, and the day came when Cain got up and he murdered Hevel. Committed first degree murder. First murder in the world. A horrific act, his own brother. And Hashem tries to work with him. Hashem says to Cain, Cain, where are you? Ayeka. Hashem says that to Adam, sorry. Hashem says to Cain, where is Hevel? Aye Hevel Achicha. And Hevel says, what do you want from me? I don't know. Hashomer Ochi Anochi. What do you think? I'm his guardian. I'm his bodyguard. How do you say that to HaKadosh Baruch? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronted him, and Hashem said to him, Dmei Achicha Tzayakim Olai Min Ho'adama. Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. How dare you deny your crime? How dare you try to cover up your crime? We have this ugly, extremely ugly event that takes place between two brothers, a cover-up, a denial, a musr, a punishment. Cain is exiled. Nov Nod, he becomes a wanderer. Hashem needs to give him a dog to protect him. Ach and Vei, you have to have a dog to protect you. Hashem has to put a tattoo on his forehead that no one should kill him. It's not a good story. It's not a very pleasant story, not from beginning to end. It starts jealousy. It escalates to murder, an ugly cover-up, mussar, punishment, exile, suffering, humiliation. It's a terrible, terrible story. Story of humanity not being able to coexist, elements of humanity not being able to coexist with one another, and all of its horrible ramifications of where this takes us and where this leads man. So Maisa of Asim Laban, and what happened to Cain and Hevel is happening all over the world every single day, where one man cannot get along with another, one country cannot get along with another. Jealousy, rage, crimes, punishment, humiliation, suffering. A cycle, a vicious cycle that continues again and again. That's the parasha. You walk away from the parasha and what do you say to yourself? No. Welcome to planet Earth. That's the way it is. That's life. It's not a pleasant place to live. Planet Earth. We've got a lot of problems here. There's a lot of fighting and blood. That's the parasha. That's the message. Live with it. Accept it. Live with it and move on. There's nothing you can do. But the Nevi'im, Chazal, always came to counterbalance the parasha with another message, to give us the ability to put everything in perspective. And what more perfect Haftarah could there be then Vayomer lo Yehoina son, machor chodesh. I challenge you to find anywhere else in Tanakh, or even world history, in stories of world history, where two people showed such love and respect for one another, like Yehoina's son and David. The heir to the throne was Yehoina's son. The melucha is his. It belongs to him, not to David. He's the heir apparent. And yet Yehoina's son has the best friend, a yidid nefesh. And he recognizes that he's better than him. He recognizes that David is fit. It is David that is mesugel for malchus. And David, Yehoinasan and David, recognize that their father, that Shaul, is a problem. There's a problem here. Shaul was the melech. The malchus was being taken away from him. And he was paranoid, a ruach ra, it says in the pasuk. He was suspicious of David. And it's a very painful story. But one thing that is consistent throughout the story, the loyalty of one man to another, the loyalty and the love of David to Yehoinasan, Yehoinasan to David. I'll read you some of the psukim. Comes the next day, Vayeshev HaMelech al Moshev kapabapam, and Shaul says, where is David? Yehoinasan says, no, he went on a family picnic. The next day he says, where is he? Where is he the next day? And, well, that's what he said on the second day. The first day he didn't ask the question. He assumed that maybe he was Tameh. On the second day, and he said, a family picnic. And Shaul said to Yehoinasan, you liar. You liar. He didn't go on a picnic. The beaches are closed. Don't you know that? The governor shut down all the beaches. He didn't go on a picnic. Vayicharav Shaul b'Yehoinasan v'yemer lo, ben na'avas hamardus, halo yodati ki v'yicher ata, I know, you, my own son, v'yicher ata levin Yishai, you prefer him over yourself. He goes on to say, Vayan Yehoinah's son, and what does Yehoinah's son do? He's so loyal to David. Look what he says. Vayemer elav, lama yumas, me'osa. In contrast to Cain getting up and murdering Hevel in cold blood and stabbing him so many times until he figured out where the neshama will depart, kept on stabbing him again and again and again to make sure he's dead. Make sure, I don't want to leave any doubt. And here, Vayom Elo, Lomo Yumas, Chas V'Sholoim, you should die. Me'osa. One man is defending another man not to die. And then Shaul, in rage, he throws a spear. He almost kills his own son. And the tsar that one man has for another is so great, he didn't eat. Vayakam Yehoinasan meim ha'shulchan b'choriyaf v'loy ochal b'yoyim ha'chodesh ha'sheni lechem ki netzav el David ki yichli me'aviv. The pain that his friend was embarrassed, couldn't eat. Another incredible expression of loyalty of one man to another. And then they go out into the field and they do the simonim with throwing the arrows with the nar, and finally they embrace. Hanar bo v'David kami eitzel hanegev ayipol li'apov arzo v'yishtachu sholosh pam. He bows to Yehoinasan. V'yishku ish esreyu. They kiss one another. V'yivku, they cry. Ish esreyu. Adavid higdil v'yom Yehoinasan l'David lech l'sholom, go in peace. Asher nishpanu shineinu anachnu b'shem Hashem lemar. Hashem yihyeh. Talk about bringing the carbon of Cain and Hevel. Cain brought a carbon, Hevel brought a carbon. Hashem likes your carbon, doesn't like my carbon. Oh, World War III breaks out. Look at the contrast. Hashem Yihyeh. May the Ribbono Shalom be between us. Beini uveinecha. Uvein zari uvein zarech ad olam. Your carbon, my carbon, it's all the same. There's one Ribbono Shalom. We're all in the same business. We're all coming together to serve Hashem. What's the jealousy? What's all this bickering and fighting about? There's one God. We're all here together to do the same thing. Hashem Yihyeh. Beini uveinecha. Uvein zari uvein zarech ad olam. Kain and Hevel? No. You gotta go. You have to die. It's not gonna go ad olam. Hashem's not gonna be with you. It's gonna be either with me or with you. It's my way or the highway. And it's gonna be my way and you're out of here. You're not gonna be around. There's no gonna be olam for you. You're gonna die. The contrast is so stark. It's so amazing. This Haftorah was custom made for Parshas Bereishis. It's not the pshat that tomorrow we were meant to really lay in the regular Haftorah, the eloquent, beautiful words of Yeshaya. No. If this is the Haftorah for tomorrow, this Haftorah has the counterbalance, the message for the Parsha. It just so happens to be that also says in the first pasuk, Vayomer lo Yohanan mochar chodesh. Everyone should remember tonight to say Yalev Yavo, and tomorrow to say Hallel, and to go to Shul. If you're not going to Shul, don't forget to say Hallel. That's a side point. But the Haftorah is the perfect Haftorah to counterbalance the parasha. Give two examples. I won't give now a third example, which another idea, but the two examples we've given here so far present, number one, Zaman, creation. Creation is science. There's no room for deviation. Don't get worked up with science. Don't get carried away with that. Don't take the message of the parasha too far. The Haftarah is always a counterbalance. There's something called Rosh Chodesh. There's a koyach in this world that Hashem gave man power, gave him freedom to be a partner with him in establishing rules and order and zman. Number two, when you walk away from the parasha, don't get depressed. The whole world is not Kain and Hevel. Kain and Hevel is an ugly reality in this world, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can do better. You can be like David and Yohanan. Hashem Yihyeh Beini Uveinecha Uvein Zari Uvein Zarecha Ad Olam. Don't get carried away with the ugliness that we find in the world. There's good there also. Strive for the good. This is the perfect Haftorah for this week's parasha. There's another message. And this message, we'll come now and discuss the favorite Rashi of one of our founders of the Shir, Rabbi Chol Miller, always smiles when we talk about the first Rashi in Chumash. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, the first Rashi in the parasha. Rabbi Yitzchak, Lahoyet Sarech Lahaskil, the Torah should really have begun with what? Ella, as a Torah, Ella, Meachoydesh Hazel Lochem, Shehi Mitzvah Rishayna, Shevitztavu Bo Yisrael, Uma Tam Posach Vibreshis, Mishum Koyach Masav Higiliamo, Loseis Lohem Nachalaskoy. No, Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, by the way, is not the father of Rashi. Rashi is Rashi Tevois, Rabbi Shloimoy Yitzchoki. In those days, they didn't say Ben. They said Rabbi Shlomo. You only had one name. So if you only have one name, the second name is automatically the name of your father. Today, when we have multiple names, so in order to know if it's your name, what's your father's name, you have to separate your name from your father's name with the word Ben. Today, Rashi would be Rebbe Shloimoy Ben Yitzchaki. They would have to add a base. It would be Rashbi.
Or Isaacson.
It would be Rashbi. They would, instead of calling it Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai.
Isaacson.
Isaac's son. Okay, Rashi would be called Rashbi. We call Rashbi Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. They would be Rebbe Shloimoi Ben Yitzchaki. Rashi would have been called Rashbi. And then for Lag BaOmer, we would have to figure out another term for Rebbe Shimon Yochai. But because in the olden days people only had one name, it was not necessary to call Rashi Rebbe Shlomo Ben Yitzchaki. Automatically, the second name is Yitzchak. So many people like to say that Rashi, in honor of his father, he cited this Chazal, Omar Rebbe Yitzchak. It's his father. It's not his father. This is the Beferish Medrash Rabbah. It's explicit.
Well, no, the reason some made that error is this Rashi is actually a splicing of two pieces of Chazal. And if you didn't see the second one, which is in Tanchuma Yoshan, then you might not realize that you made a mistake with that.
Okay, but this is a Tana. This is in the Medrash Rabbi. It's not his father. His father did not say this. This is.
No, I'm saying it's a combination of Medrash Rabbah plus
Tanchuma. Tanchuma. Okay. Now this is a very important Rashi. Now, there are many different ideas and details. I want to add one more idea based upon what we just said, connecting this to the Haftarah. And also connecting this to an idea that we spent a lot of time on in the evening. We learned in the evening Rashi and Unkelus. And we always try to bring out in the evening a disagreement. We're always looking for trouble. We're looking to make social distancing between Rashi and Unkelus to show disagreements between the two. And possibly the most fundamental difference in the whole Tanakh, whole Chumash, Chamish Chumash Torah, between Rashi and Unkelus is this word Bereishis. What is the translation of the word Bereishis? Unkelus says Bekadmin, in the beginning, the very, very first thing that happened in this world was Bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim b'eis haaretz. Before Bereishis, we don't know what was. The Big Bang began with Bereishis. In the beginning, Bikadmin, Hashem created. Rashi strongly disagrees with this pshat, with the Unkelus. Strongly, could not be strong in disagreement. Because if that's really what the pasuk means, it should say, Ba-ri-shoy-na. The correct grammatical form of Bereishis that would be translated in the beginning, as it appears in almost every single English translation, except for the article translation, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, is based upon the translation of the Targum Unkelus, in the beginning. Rashi strongly disagrees, because if the word Bereishis means in the beginning, that's not the correct grammatical form. Because the word Bereishis means the beginning of, which we'll explain in a moment, the correct word for the Targum would have been Barishoyna, Bara Elokim. It does not say Barishoyna. It says Bereishis Bara. The word Bereishis in that form is connected to the word Bara. And the Targum is not perfect. That Rashi is not perfect either in this respect. He understands the pasuk to mean, I'm going to translate it loosely, towards the beginning of creation. In other words, the world already existed when we open up Chumash Bereishis. There was already a world. There was a world out there. The Big Bang happened long ago. The world existed. Time already everything existed. There was a lot of things out there that we don't really fully understand. And how long that was going on for, who knows? Now at a certain point, which we'll call, just for the sake of relative to us, it was before our existence, in the Bereishis Baro. Rashi takes the word Bara, and he basically substitutes it for a different word, Bero, towards the beginning of the world. where all that existed was a Shamayim and the Aretz, the Shamayim and the Aretz were in a state of tohu vavo, and the Choshech was al pnei asohai. So the Torah is not coming to tell us what happened first. The Torah is coming to tell us there was a world of Shamayim and Aretz, and the Shamayim and the Aretz was in a state of tohu vavohu, and Hashem said, Vayihi Or. You want to know when did Hashem create the Shamayim and the Aretz? It doesn't say. It doesn't say anywhere that when Hashem created it. That's none of your business. That's not part of the discussion. According to the Targum, that is part of the discussion. The Targum says the world began with the creation of the Shamayim and the Aretz. Period. Rashi, no. The world began before. And towards the beginning of this creation, which we do not know how it was created, it happens to be there was a Shamayim and the Aretz. Not the way we know it today. The Shamayim and the Aretz that existed from the beginning was in a state of Tayhu Vavahu. And Hashem said, you know what? Vayom Elokim Yihi Or, and V'chul V'chul. You have to really read the two psukim together. Okay, now, what is the difference between Rashi and Unkelus? I want to bring out a point. I want to bring out an important point. And Rashi Kamat says it. If you look carefully in the Rashi, he Kamat says this. The difference is, I'm jumping down to the middle of Rashi, and Rashi writes, V'loy bo. Here is where he makes the strongest point to disagree with the Targum. He says a very powerful word. V'loy bo. The Pasuk is not, this is where he rejects Unkelus. V'loy bo ha-mikra le-hoyrois, to teach us Seder. And underline that word Seder. Put it in bold, change the color to bright red. V'loy bo ha-mikra le-hoyrois, to teach us the order. Seder ha-beria. Loimar, to say she'elu kodmu. This came first. Okay, and then he goes on to say, because if that was the case, in it should have said in the beginning, bara es hashmayim v'es she'el l'chore. And then he goes on to explain this whole pshat. The difference between Rashi and Unkelus, when everything is said and done, is the world created in order? Say there. According to Unkelus, Bereshis, the word itself, which he means Bekadmin, is teaching you an incredible lesson. In this world, there is order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't step out of the line. Everyone has a number. Everyone has a place. We live in a linear world. There is Zman. 11 o'clock comes before 12 o'clock. A becomes before B. A Bechor comes before the next child. There is Seder. Built into Maisa Bereshis is what's called Bikadmin. In the beginning, this is what happened. Hashem created first the Shamayim and then the Aretz. Next. Number two on the agenda. Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or. Next. Go through the entire Seder. Uncle. Rashi says he got it all wrong. There is no Seder in Bereshis. There is no Seder. The Torah begins in the middle of chaos. There's a Shamayim and the Aretz. It came before. It existed before. Now Hashem comes along and he goes backwards. And it was Toyu Vavohu. And Hashem says, Yihi Or. We're not concerned with order. There's a chaotic existence. It may very well be that we're going backwards. 1, 2, 3, we go back to 1. You have to... I'm not elaborating. I don't have the right words. I don't have the right, and I've not thought it out to express it properly. But I don't need to, because Rashi really says it all. Rashi's words are, these words are so powerful, it's unreal. V'loy bo hamikra lehoiros seder habriya. We're not here, according to Rashi, to teach you order. There is no order here in creation. Creation is chaos. There's a chaotic decision being made how things should be put into place. And Hashem is calling, there are items online. You, number 10, come here. You, number 6, come here. Number 5, come here. Let's go back to number 1. Let's go. V'loy bo hamikra lehoiro seder habriya. Targum says, I don't like that. This world is a scientific world. There is seder in this world. Very big machlokes. What?
That when Hashem created everything, he created within. All at once, and then he had to break it apart.
Let's go slow. Okay. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this to understand the first Rashi. What I just said to you is what Rashi says a little bit later on. The first Rashi of Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, could Unkelis say Amar Rabbi Yitzchak? Unkelis, when he says B'kadmin, would Unkelis be able to say Amar Rabbi Yitzchak lo hayitzarich lahaskel zatari ella me'achodesh hazeh lochem? Why did he do it? To teach you koyach mas of higid liyama. Shem yoymu umayso oylam listim atem. Targum has a very big problem. You know what the problem with Targum is? We're occupiers of the land. Who came first into Eretz Yisrael? Who's there? The Arabs or the Canaan? Not the Arab, the Canaan, whatever. The Canaan were there. Who lived? Who had first licks? Who were the ones that possessed the land first? The Canaan. They're there first. Whoever gets there first wins. If you want to look at the world in a world of Seder, then we're in a lot of trouble. We cannot possess the land. It's not ours. Hashem already gave the land to the Canaan. So what right do we have to come to evict the Canaan from the land? Rashi says, no. There's no such thing in this world as Seder. Don't tell me that built into the DNA of creation, everything has to follow a script of Seder. That's not the way it goes. The only thing you have to know about this world is it's Hashem's world. And Seder is irrelevant. Hashem, the Canaan, that's right, they were here first. We're on line number 10. But the world is not created with Seder. The world works with Hashem's rules. Hashem gave mitzvahs. Hashem wants a certain moral climate. He wants there to be Yiras Shamayim. And the Canaanim are not with the program. They're out. And we're in. He created the world. He eliminated the Canaanim. And he gave us the land. We're not listing. You need to demolish the religion of Seder in order to allow Hashem to enter into the world, the moral principles and guidelines of Tayag Mitzvos, to allow the world to operate at a different level, which changes everything. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, and let's understand Rabbi Yitzchak better. Rabbi Yitzchak said, you know what the truth is? We all know good and well. There is nothing that settles the mind. Nothing that's more comforting when everything is in order. When we have an approach, we have a plan. You have a plan. Everyone, you have a plan. You want to know what to do. This is what you do today. This is what you do tomorrow and the next day. It's very settling. What is Rosh Chodesh? Lo hoyot tzarch lahaschil ela. So we started today by explaining Rosh Chodoshim represents the principle of Hashem gave man the ability to control time. Put that aside. Forget about that. Let's go down an entirely different approach. You know what the advantage of HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim? It's the mitzvah, the first mitzvah of the, you know what? Do you know why it's the first mitzvah of the Torah? Because it's the mitzvah of Seder. Rosh Chodashim. Chodesh HaRishon. Chodesh HaSheni. Chodesh HaShlishi. Chodesh HaRevi. Chodesh HaChamishi. Chodesh HaShishi. Seder. Pesach, what do we do at the Pesach night? It's a Seder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave us mitzvahs. When he gave us mitzvahs, the mitzvahs are misudar. They are in perfect order. There are tayag mitzvahs. The months are arranged in order. If the Hashem is speaking to a human being cannot live in a world of chaos. A human being needs order. He needs to be told, have a plan, have goals, to know how to deal with things. And if Hashem is speaking to men, lo hayatzaruch hatoru lahaschil, lo hayatzaruch lahaschil es hatoru elo miachodesh hazeh lochem. She mitzvah rishoymer, she nitztavu bo yishol. Why? Because it's all about Seder. This is the Chodesh HaRishon, Rishon Hu Lochem L'Chodshei Hashana. It's the Kadmin. Targum, you said, Bereishis, B'Kadmin, order, this comes first, and this comes second. You, Targum, you know, you're right. Rashi says, Targum, you really hit the nail on the head. The Torah has to begin with B'Kadmin. But the real Kadmin is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Because that's the mitzvah which sets the tone for all of the Tayag mitzvahs of Seder. But Bereishis, there's no Seder. Maise Bereishis is chaos. Although Itaka seems, in Maise Bereishis, Hashem established the rules of science, the rules of physics, the rules, all the rules of the natural world, which can be defined with the ultimate precision and scientific analysis, and it can be predictable. That's right. That's correct. That was the result. The result was a Berea, a world that works perfectly and is predictable according to the laws of science. But the way this world was created was chaotic by design. Chaos by design. Maybe Hashem has an order, Hashem has a, but from our perspective, it was chaotic. Why is that so important? How could that be? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that to us? If he's giving us the Torah in order to give us a derech in life, when you have instructions, you have an order. You follow the order. First, you make a left, then you make a right, then you go 2 miles here, 3 miles there. How could Hashem do this? The first, we should have HaChodesh Zelechem, Rosh Chodoshim, Rishnu Lechem. It's because of Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to go down the path of Seder, you will never touch Eretz Yisrael. It's not Mesudar. It's not yours. It belongs to the Canaanite. They got it first. You have to know that in this world, it's true there's Seder. There are rules. And the world operates with Seder. But it's Hashem's world. And Hashem created the world with chaos. Why? Because Hashem has reasons that the world should achieve a state of perfection, and those reasons break the rules of Seder. And you have to know that when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael, that you are entitled to Eretz Yisrael, even though you are number 10 on the line. You're not in order. You're being taken out of the line in order to take Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Hashem said so. Here, just like the Bria in creation, there is no Seder, so too your connection to the land is not subject to Seder. the mitzvahs are subject to Seder, and we would expect it. There has to be that balance. And now we appreciate the Haftarah as well, because the whole parsha, really, you look at the parsha, it's chaos. It's chaos, according to Rashi at least. According to Rashi, from beginning to end, this parsha is one big nightmare. Creation, we enter the picture, we come late to a movie. When I was a kid, I used to go to movies. If you come late to the movie, the whole movie, the whole thing is no good. It's not like, share, come late to share, right? All right, you come late to share. If you come late to a movie, if you miss the beginning of the movie, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on if you come late in the middle of the movie. We come into the parasha, you come late to the parasha. We walk into Bereish Baruch Elokim, according to Rashi, towards the beginning. You miss the first 10 minutes of the movie. Too bad for you. But if you miss the first 10 minutes, you're not going to understand what's going on. Too bad for you, you came late, so you don't understand, too bad. You come into the parasha in the middle of the parasha. That's chaotic. And then Hashem is going backwards and forwards. He's taking things that he created in the past and he's bringing them into the future and he's manipulating them. That's right. The whole creation, as Rashi says over and over, this extremely powerful expression, V'loy ba hamikra lehoidois seder habriya. We're not here to teach you order. Creation is chaos. And then what happens? The chait Adam harishayim, chava, Adam, the nachash, the curse, more chaos, more problems. This is not the way we're supposed to go. It's not supposed to be that Hashem gives a command, you violate the command. That's not the order. If Hashem gives you an order, you do A, B, C. And what did Chava do? She broke the rules. She didn't follow the Seder. And then what happens? Cain and Hevel. You don't kill one another. That's not the rule. That's not the way it's supposed to. That's not the rule. That's not the playbook. The playbook, there's a rule. It's a checklist. A, B, C, D. You bring a carbon, you bring a carbon. You don't go, the carbon didn't work, so now you're gonna go out of order, you're gonna kill somebody. He becomes a wanderer. And then we learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end. It already alludes to the fact that man begins to worship idols. Man begins to worship Enosh. In his day, people began... Yes?
Chazal referred to the first stage, the first 2,000 years, as Tohu Vavohu.
Chaos, exactly. Chaos.
Well, right until Matan Torah.
But especially the entire first parasha, they begin to worship idols. And then Hashem says, you know what? I had enough of these people. I'm going to destroy the world. The parasha ends with the revelation. Hashem says, guess what? The world is over. It's all over. The whole parasha, from beginning to end, represents the absence of Seder. You walk away from the parasha, what do you say? There is no Seder. Loi bo hakosav lohoiroi Seder habriya. There is no Seder in this world, this chaos. That's why Chazal needed to give us a Haftarah that begins with the words, Vayomer lo Yehoinasan, Mochar Chodesh, Yesh Mochar le'achazman. Chodesh is the first mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Seder. HaChodesh hazeh lochem, Rosh Chodoshim, Rishon hu lochem. Let me teach you. Let me take you to kindergarten and teach you. There's something called 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 comes before 2. 2 comes before 3. 3 comes before 4. There is Seder. Don't get carried away with the Bereishis, with reading a parsha of Rashi, who sets the tone for the whole parsha. Loi ba'akosav lohoiro Seder habriya. Don't get carried away with that. Because the truth is, there is Seder. There is a chodesh hazel lochem rosh chodoshim. So sach hakol, what we've done over here is we've taken the parsha and the haftorah, and we have explained that tomorrow the original plan was to lay from Yeshaya a beautiful haftorah with the beautiful, stunning words Karma Hashem Hakel Hashem Boyre Hashemaim Binoitehem. and we've canceled the Haftarah. Why? Machar Chodesh. So we would think that the Haftarah has nothing to do with the Parasha. There couldn't be nothing further than the truth. The Haftarah is custom made for this week's Parasha. It counterbalances all of the dangerous elements of the Parasha. The Bria, it may be etched in stone. The science of the world may be etched in stone, but guess what? Hashem gave man the power to control this world. Captured in the essence of Rosh Chodesh, what Bezin has the power to manipulate time itself. The second idea, don't be so worried about Kayin and Hevel. There's something called the Yohoinasan and David. And number three, a little different type of idea, don't be so carried away with the principle of Leiba Kosov Lahoro Seder Habriya. And that was necessary. That idea is absolutely necessary because we need that for Rabbi Yitzchok to teach us, don't be so worried about the fact that the Canaanim came first. Who cares? It's Hashem's world. Hashem said, Hashem told them to get out and told us, you in the back of the line, you come to the front. It's fair. It is fair because Hashem has a different set of rules. But don't get carried away with that. Because the truth is, that may be true from Hashem's perspective. You need to counterbalance the fact that in this world, Hashem made a world without Seder, with an acknowledgement that everything else, from our perspective, does have Seder through Mochar Chodesh. There is in this world Seder.
Hashem did the same thing with David and Melech, right?
What do you mean? Mr. Elman, this is a question. What?
David HaMelech, he was completely out of order. He's the youngest son.
Right, he's saying very good. David HaMelech was the last. He was the eighth. David HaMelech was selected as the Melech, and he was the eighth child. He was taken out of order. Very good. A lot of things are very, very, very good. Very good, okay. Now, well, let me just conclude with one more var. We have another 2 minutes. Let me just conclude with something short. A lot of different things I want to discuss. We don't really have time. So let me just conclude something very, very short. Okay, very half-baked idea for you to develop. There are only two things. There are not too many things that get blessing in this week's parasha. We have blessing by fish. We have blessing by animals and a blessing by man. Let's look at the difference in how these blessings are mentioned. Very, very short idea, which I really leave for you to conclude. But when it comes to the creation of animals, when Hashem created the animals, Hashem said, or really, not that the animals, when it comes to the fish. Vayamalakim, Yishritsu Hamayim. Only two blessings, fish and man. Yeshritsu hamayim sheretz nefesh chay ve'oif. V'chulu v'chulu v'yivro lo kimes ha-taninim ha-gedoylim. And then it says, v'yivorech elokim es ha-taninim ha-gedoylim. Hashem blessed them. V'yivro elokim es ha-taninim ha-gedoylim. Okay, next pasuk. Vayivorech oisam elokim. Hashem blessed them. What did Hashem bless? Going back on the previous pasuk, the fish and the birds. The fish and the birds were blessed. You know why? Lemar, peru uruvu, umilu es hamayim, bayamim, v'ho'oif yirev baretz. Hashem blessed the fish and the birds. Rashi, very important Rashi. Why did fish and birds get blessing? Lefi shemechasrim oisam, because we have a tendency to destroy them. We destroy fish. We destroy birds. We kill them. We hunt them. V'tzodin mehem v'oichlim oisam hutzruchu lebrocha, because since man is hunting fish and birds, we're looking to destroy them. They need to survive. Hashem gave them a blessing to out-survive us. Okay. So why then don't we give a blessing to the animals? So Rashi goes on to say, because if we would give a blessing to the animals, it would include the nachash, and we don't want to bless the nachash. Okay, fine. The only other blessing in Ma'aseh Bereishis was what? Adam. Hashem creates man. Fast forward. Hashem creates man. Vayivorech oisam elokim, vayomer elohem elokim, pru uruvu mulot ratzvichiv shua. Conquer the earth. Rashi is silent. Why did Hashem need to bless man? What's the purpose? Hashem, just the fact that we're here is a blessing. Why did when it comes to the fish and the birds, it says Hashem needed to bless them because people are trying to kill them. They're trying to destroy each other. But when it comes to man, so we would assume that when the Pasuk indeed blesses man, the reason why Hashem blessed man is because, guess what? We try to kill each other. Isn't that the logical conclusion? Rashi already told us once the reason why there's a need for a blessing, that you need a blessing when someone's trying to destroy you. So you need a blessing to survive. So man, the history of the world has taught us that man tries to destroy man. The world is full of wars. Everyone's trying to take from someone else. So man needs a blessing to survive. Would that be the logical conclusion? Perhaps it would be. However, there's a very big difference, and this is very important to cite. In the pasuk that says the blessing of fish and birds, it says, "Vayivarech oisam Elokim lemar." The blessing was the following: peru urevu, multiply. By man, it doesn't say that. It's slightly different. Vayivarech oisam Elokim, period. Period. And then it says, Vayoymer lohem Elokim pru urevu. Again, by birds and fish, it says, Vayivarech oisam Elokim lemar. Hashem blessed them with the following blessing, pru urevu. By Adam, it was a two-step process. First it says, Vayivarech oisam Elokim. Hashem blessed man, period. Then it says, I give you a commandment, multiply. Vayoyim Elohim Elokim pru urevu. In other words, don't be misled. If you would not know otherwise, you would say that the two blessings are the same. And just like Hashem gave a blessing to birds and fish because they kill each other, because they're endangered species, man's also an endangered species, so he needs to be blessed to survive. Sheker. Man is not an endangered species because man is not meant to kill each other. One man, there was never ever a havamina that one man should kill another person. Man is not an endangered species. He doesn't need to be blessed to survive. It's a given he'll survive. And yet, Hashem blessed him anyway. Why? A blessing just for the sake of blessing. It's an incredible blessing. The contrast opens up an appreciation, because if not for the blessing that appears by the birds, you would say, Hashem blessed them, and he said to them, pru urevu. So you would be misled to think that the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man is that he should multiply. Okay, very nice. But now that we have the same type of blessing by birds and fish, and there it's clear that the blessing only was specifically to multiply. And Rashi explains because they are endangered species. So now we come to Adam and we see that the expression is completely different. It's a revelation. The love that man, Hashem, has for man. Hashem blessed man just for the sake of blessing him. No other element in creation received the bracha like this. To be blessed just for the sake of blessing you. And in addition, I give you a commandment. I love you so much. You should go proceed and multiply. Occupy this world. Do good things. Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful Shabbos, a good Shabbos, a good Chodesh, a good Yar. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Everyone should be well. Gesund. Shabbat shalom. Umlevarach.
An interesting take there.
Is this your book?
No. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Ron, good Shabbos. It's good to see you.
Good Shabbos, Avi. How you feeling? So, Rabbi Levine, the idea was
yes.
creation of order out of chaos.
Yes, exactly. Right? Exactly.
That applies to our possession of Eretz Israel.
Yes, exactly.
And of the Torah. Yeah.
Okay. It's a creation of order out. You said it. You said it really good. You really summarized it. A creation of order out of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
The world is a chaotic. Is chaos. Hashem. Right out of chaos. That's right. Exactly. It's a.
Isn't that Dr. Allman's thesis?
Game theory.
Familiar with entropy.
I'm not familiar. Entropy is chaos.
Entropy is not chaos. Tendency towards chaos.
The result is order. That is, there's no doubt about it. The result is order. But the creation of order was done through a creation of, not out of chaos. It was a creation of chaos, at least from our perspective. From man's perspective, what Hashem is doing, and he wants us to, Hashem certainly does it, Hashem does what he has his reasons. But Hashem wants us to see him act in a chaotic way to create order. Because Maaseh Bereishis is chaos. V'loy bo ha-mikro l'chayro seda ha-briya. The Briya is presented to us, I mean, those are the words of Rashi, are presented to us not in order. There is no Seder here. But yet the result is Seder. And if we want Seder, we have to go to the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs
chaos
are
in
Seder.
Is in our perspective.
Correct.
We don't understand
right.
the difference.
Ki loy machshavoy sai machshavoy
seichem. That's why in the book, The Big Bang Theory, what he said, that was written by two foot people, and what they postulate is that how come, I mean, when the Big Bang Theory happened and there were all those gases in the world, 95% of all the hydrogen in the universe is on Earth. So God directed it that way for the ability for human beings to exist on Earth. And that was that. But I think that explains maybe the Gemara better, because the Gemara gives the whole thing, as I'm sure you know, Eilat Togos Hashmayim Goharis Vehi Baram V'yom Asos Elkim Eretz V'Shamayim. So the Gemara asks on that Pasuk, well, it says Shamayim Goharis and then
chaos.
Eretz V'Shamayim, which was first. Doesn't matter, the Gemara says. It's to teach us there was no Seder.
Oh, exactly. There is no Seder. Don't
yeah,
try.
So that, but you don't get that impression from the Gemara, but that's probably what the Gemara really, that's shot in the Gemara. There is no Seder.
But not according to the Targum. The Targum says Big Kadmin. The Kadmin means
science,
this.
Yeah, what science is confused today is you would think that Earth was an outgrowth of all the rest of the universe and Earth came later. But what science, what they're miffed about, and not miffed, but confused about, is that by the dating of today's science, Earth is older than the sun. And they don't understand it. In other words, they postulate that the sun is 12 billion years old, but that the Earth is 13 billion years old.
So how could the Earth
and
exist without a sun?
No sense. And they don't get it. They're left with that question today. They don't get it. There's a billion to a billion and a half years difference between Earth is older than most of the other. They don't understand. They would think that Earth, like other planets, came along, you know, the way other planets were formed after the whole solar system came about and then Earth finally formed. And it seems to be, from their own dating, Earth came earlier. They don't get it. So they have no answer.
It's very interesting.
Does anyone know the Maylid?
No, you want to go to the Maylid? Go look it up. Go look it up over here.
I'll look it up, but I want to know if anybody knew it on hand.